All right, there we go. It's Fairfield County Live and Local. We're presented by the Sono Collection. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. And my guest tonight is indie pop duo Color Fields. We've got John Torres to my right, and below me is Scott Packham. Guys, thanks for coming on tonight.
Great to have you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Scott, I was telling you before this, the album is awesome. It's super catchy. I've been listening to it for a while, but I love you guys, because I've seen you play in like a bunch of different projects. Scott, going back to when me and you were in high school, seeing Electric Soul Theory at the Beanery, and
that's so funny.
And John, like a bunch of different projects I've seen you in. Oh, Cassius, your solo stuff, you know, doing cover nights. You did the Prince thing a couple years ago when he passed. This is such, well, you know what? I guess it's not really a departure for you guys, but it's definitely something new from what you've done in the past. Can you guys describe the band a little bit and just what the sound is like and what it's all about?
Sure. Yeah. And I think you're not off. It's a little bit of a departure, especially for me. But it's always been something, like you said, the Prince night, that's that sort of style of music, or like electronic elements mixed with rock and roll or whatever, has always been sort of something that I'm certainly interested in.
As I said the Prince thing, I was like, actually, that really kind of works.
Like that, right?
Yeah. It really does.
So, yeah, no, it felt like a logical progression. And especially, you know, then collaborating with Scott, I don't know, just... we just kind of started to go where the path led, and that's this is where we're at right now, you know.
Yeah. Scott, what about you?
Yeah, it's a bit of a departure. So John and I started working together when he had his project Ocassius with Meredith Ximena, and I started working with John then, and there was definitely a very stylistically different type of music for me. And John and I started to write more songs with just the two of us. And John and I have different musical influences. And so I guess Color Fields is a lot more of a natural ground for me. And I know it is for John as well, but Color Fields is sort of a sound where it's like John and I meeting our two influences. And it just feels like around that time we would listen to a lot of music together. We would check a lot of stuff out, and it's definitely sort of a natural meeting point of what we were both into at the time that we started to start doing this.
What influences are meeting? Like, if you were going to do like a Venn diagram, like where's the crossover between where you're both coming from?
So I would say John's a little bit more indie rock, and I'm a little bit more R&B. I went to school for jazz performance. I neo soul, that kind of thing. Electronic music is stuff. And so to meet in the middle there, you would see everything from, like, on John's side, more of like a Tame Impala, and you might see James Blake on my side, something like that. Like, that might be a meshing. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Right on. Well, cause, and I mean, you know, you describe it as an indie pop, record, and as an indie pop project. What for you guys, I mean, defines what makes something pop, right? Because, of course, you know, pop came from being short for popular, but now it's got this whole other thing. Is it in the production? Is it in the songwriting? Is it a little of both? What makes a song pop? What defines that genre for you guys?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all of those things. Some of the choices that we were making, we were consciously trying, you know, just thinking of like it being catchy, I guess. But the lyrics, I feel like, are pretty approachable. They're less like esoteric or like bizarre than I think I would tend to write. And again, this is because this is a group. This isn't just like me, and it's not just Scott. We are collaborating. And so I think because of that, I feel like I enter into sort of a persona as a songwriter when I'm thinking of Color Fields kinds of tunes. And so I think there's just a slightly, we are trying to be like, all right, what's I don't know, what's the most impactful way we can have something come across? What's the thing that's going to be like that earworm, or what's going to make somebody want to dance, or what's going? So we are definitely like consciously doing that, and sort of unapologetically. I think there's a big push in modern, you know, a lot of musicians like, you know, don't go pop, don't sell out. We don't consider it selling out. I just think there's something to be said for making a song that's like, you know, you're attempting to garner interest from a larger group of people. That's a hard thing to do. And that's, I think, the fun for us right now, is to try to make something that melds our interest in our sounds, but is also kind of, you know, it doesn't sound terrible. Sounds pretty good. It sounds like, you know, it's catchy. So yeah, that's sort of it.
Yeah, no. Well, and I mean, and it does, it's even if you're not, I mean, like I'm a big, you know, I'm a big rock guy, and I get into a lot of different music. I really did enjoy the crap out of this album, because it's fun. It is unapologetically catchy. And I like that you said that, you know, because yeah, a lot of times you will, you know, everybody wants to write something catchy. Not everybody wants to admit it, I feel like, or maybe not everybody wants to write something catchy. I'm sure, you know, there's people out there who would.
Oh, for sure. Not. Yeah.
but it is, it's unapologetically fun. And it's got a couple of different, you know, I mean, you come at it from a couple of different directions. So, and I'm talking to Color Fields, 95.9 The Fox, Fairfield County, Live and Local. We're going to hear three of the songs from this album at 9 o'clock. And the ones I picked, you know, Ships in the Dark, you guys have been doing a lot with on social media. Pendulum is, of course, the title track. And then I picked, oh God, the name's escaping me right now. I just literally.
Loving You Better.
Yeah, Loving You Better. There it is. So Ships in the Dark, obviously, is a banger right away. You guys come in hard with the beat. You know, the guitar is in there. It's immediately loud. It's immediately fun. The other two, particularly, I think Pendulum, are a little bit of a slow burn, leading up to something that really kind
Pendulum
of,
for sure. Yeah.
Pendulum, especially. Loving You Better has that cool hook that like you guys don't immediately come in with that starts a little bit later in the song. But, describe the songwriting process for this and how it differs. And you touched on this a little bit, but how it differs from previous projects of yours.
Go ahead, Scott.
So I would say that the songwriting project, the process usually is John and I sitting in a room. Usually, we're usually within a DAW environment. We're usually already in production world right away. We're usually getting sounds, but we're not going crazy. Usually, a song, even as heavily produced as Loving You Better, we're still starting out with, I've usually got a piano pulled up. And we are bouncing ideas off of each other. And it's usually, all of these songs have started from, like, with very, very little exception, just ideas that John and I are bouncing off each other in the room, at the time. And there's a way in which, of course, everybody wants to write something catchy, but there are things that like pretty organically came out of what we were feeling at the time and just trying to express. Pendulum in particular was something where we had like we were both sort of talking about some songwriting concepts and some things that we wanted to, like, we usually try to check in. It's like, hey, is there something that you have on your plate you're trying to write something about? And Pendulum in particular was something that we both kind of tapped into an emotional place. And I started playing this kind of descending, kind of dark minor descending chord pattern thing. And John started singing a few different things, and it didn't take very long for him to sing something that wound up being that full first verse, like pretty quickly. Okay. And it was like, oh, okay, a couple of them happened. And then that verse happened, and it was like, oh, let's go with that one. Let's you know, mind that path a little bit.
Right.
And so usually that's our best songwriting, is when we're both like on the same sort of emotional path, where we're sort of talking about what it is we're going after. And then we kind of, maybe we'll take a couple cracks at it, but it does happen pretty organically in the room at that time.
Was Pendulum the first song that you guys finished or wrote?
No, that was definitely later. That was not the last. The last one that we actually wrote in the series of them was Summertime. But Pendulum was the second to last of all of them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because yeah. I was wondering what it is, and you put it in the middle of the album. It's kind of a centerpiece for the whole EP. But why did that one become the title track? Why did you guys decide to put that one on the title?
I think I kind of drove the bus on that one a little bit. The lyrics of that song took me a long time, and it's not like a lot of progress was like when it was 95% of the way done. That last 5% took as long as the entire rest of the 95%, because I couldn't figure out what the song was about. Like, what is the thesis, or what is it? What am I saying? And I think once I got around and kind of got sucked into that word pendulum and the concept of the pendulum, not to give it away to anybody that hasn't listened to it, but there's a lot of, there's a lot of imagery there where you're like, you're going from young to old. So there's a lot of pendulum swings that happen in the song. And even in the sense that, you know, I'm letting you go in hopes that you will, like a pendulum, come back to me. Like, so once I did, like, firmly, like, I was like, that's it. That's the lyric. And that's the name of the song. And I was like, well, shit. Oh, sorry. Did I just
No, you're fine. Yeah, no, okay. this is Facebook. The FCC doesn't give a shit about this. Okay. We're good. We're like, good.
It's a pithy enough, you know, name to just like, you know, let's call it the Pendulum EP. Like, it just made sense to me to suggest that. And Scott was cool with it. And from there, I mean, I felt like it needed to be short and sweet. And that felt good.
There you go.
Plus the other thing, like Scott said, we, that song is possibly the most, you know, representative of like our songwriting process. It was the purest example of like the way in which we're great together, or how we could be, like the potential that we have together is that song. Like, and it's simply because there was the two of us in a room, our strengths coming together, and even put, you know, kind of challenging one another, you know, Scott, I mean, there were so many iterations of that song that if you were just,
oh yeah,
hear,
very much.
And at one point Scott sent me what ended up being very close to the final form. And I just was like, yeah, that's it. Like we weren't like settling, you know, neither of us was allowing the other to settle, and we weren't allowing ourselves to settle. And, you know, when it finally was done, we're like, this is a really cool thing we just did, and we should do more of this. So that song just felt like, yeah, this is the band. And it's not to say that we're always going to sound like that, but it's always going to have that level of like detail, and like, you know, it's gonna feel like a 360 degree, everything was considered. And so that, I think that song is most representative of that.
So would it be fair to say that that's the song that kind of, I mean, you know, you said you wrote it late. It was late in the game, but that's a song that just for you kind of defined the sound of, but also the attitude of the band and what you're trying to do.
So we've talked about that. We have like, if you look at a song like Shift in the Dark, and you look at a song like Loving You Better, they're so diametrically opposed. They couldn't be further from each other.
Yeah.
But then you have other songs that are definitely also, you know, Wide Enough versus Confessions. Those songs are pretty different as well. Then there's other songs that are like, I feel like Animal is not, that's not so different from some of the other ones. Like that kind of already starts to speak to that blend a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Pendulum, this we've talked about this before. Pendulum is sort of where a lot of the influences do meld a bit more. And it is poppy. It's poppier than some of the influences that we both have. But like, that was just a product of, we started writing that song from a very earnest emotional place. And that's where it wanted to go. And that's where it went. Like, we started in this very minor descending chord, like looking back wistfully on this nostalgic, like, lyrical space. And then just in the first day that we were writing there, I think it was the first day, I started, okay, we had tried all these different ways. Okay, how can we get to a pre-chorus? How can we try this? How can we try that? And I remember, okay, what if we're just going to throw in relative major, we're going D minor, we're jumping to F right now. Okay, here we are in F. Like, this is a big, this ain't even about you. We're going to F now. And that was something that we did. And that definitely brought it from this kind of darker, minor, indie rock, moody place to, okay, now we're in major chord pop, like almost EDM territory by the time we get to the chorus. So I think that one is the most purest of a mix in the sense that it does have these different styles within it. Yeah.
And a lot of peaks and valleys too, just emotionally. Mm. The song is a journey.
And
it has that break. That was honestly what hooked me initially was that, and I guess I didn't sit there and try to tab it out, but yeah, when you go to F and it gets super majory and it gets very danceable right there, mm-hmm. there's an awesome sense of release there. I love hearing you guys describe the music, because I've listened to this song must be like 10 times in the last 24 hours just from having it on playlist, getting ready for the show. Hearing you guys talk about it now, it makes me want to wish that I could listen to it right this very second. And actually, speaking of which, we're going to be playing, for people who are just tuning in, we're going to be playing all of these songs that Color Fields is talking about coming up at 9 o'clock on 95.9 The Fox, 959thefox.com, or if you're in Fairfield County, Connecticut, 95.9 FM. So I mentioned before you guys, no, you know what? I'm going to save this question for later. John, I actually want to talk about lyrics for a quick second, because the way you went into the amount of detail you put into Pendulum, and I assume that extrapolates to all the rest of the songs on the album. I was gonna ask, is the lyric writing process specifically different for a more poppy band like this as opposed to like a folk project like Ocassius? Or do you really, because it sounds to me, and I don't know your songwriting, you know, process from Ocassius, but it sounds like you approach it with the same sense of storytelling. Or is there a difference?
There's a difference, I guess, but it's just as time consuming or just as like labor intensive as anything else. So for something like Ocassius, which was still accessible, because I actually do also make really weird indie rock music that I would be less strict with myself about what lyrics would sort of pass muster with this project. I was like, no, you've got to, it's, I don't know, just the music seemed to call for a slightly more, accessible, like lyric, story driven kind of thing rather than a sort of spacey, bizarre, you know, very imagery based or psychedelic sort of lyric writing, which I also do, which is just like, I have no idea what's happening. All I know, I'm like in a place, like I feel like this room is gold. That's all I know from the lyrics. Sure. Like that's absolutely something that I like to do and enjoy doing. But for this, I just felt like, let me try to tell a story here. So which ends up actually being really difficult. I spent a ton of time on lyrics for this, for these seven songs. Because you know what, the more you listen to pop music, the more you like listen to even just like really big names in indie rock that have actually, or like a Bon Iver or The National or Wilco or whatever, you listen to these lyrics and they're just fantastic. And you've got to really try to, you can't kind of like skimp on it. And so I just spent a ton of time, man. Right. Loving You Better took me such a long time because I just was never happy with it. I wasn't happy with it. Yeah, it took a long time. And then, you know, others kind of just came together really quickly. Like Ships in the Dark was like, I think I'm singing what I originally started singing when we first wrote the song. It was like stream of consciousness, very like visceral. Like, I don't know. I was just like, just feeling the song and feeling the moment. And that, so that's an example of a song where I just let it fly. And we were like, yeah, those are the lyrics. That's how that song goes.
Nice.
But anyways, yeah.
Well, it's intricate because you did bring it up is with popular music. It's easy, especially danceable music. You know, it's easy to let that layer of songwriting kind of go unnoticed because people are dancing. People are having a good time. It's music that's meant to party to. But yeah, when you dig a little deeper, there a lot of times you'll find something there. And I think it's cool that it was important to you that that people who wanted to dig a little bit deeper could find something.
Yeah.
So just going back to like I mentioned, I mean, I've seen you guys play live in a variety of different projects. What does Color Fields look like live? Is it just the two of you guys? Do you bring a band? What's the thought process there?
Well, yeah, we definitely perform with a band. We actually just recently recorded some live stuff that we want to be teasing out over the next couple of weeks. And we're going to be releasing some live stuff. We're beyond that. Like, that was something that we filmed and we did it live. Although, you know, with COVID, nobody could be there. We hope to be able to play in earnest the live show in a safe way in the not too distant future. But until we can, we're going to continue to be doing some like real live streams. And some of them might be with just John and I. And we love to be able to showcase just the, you know, the immediacy of that, like the connection John and I have. We just guitar, piano and voice. We hope to do that. But when we typically perform live that we've done before, it's usually at least a bass player and a drummer. Sometimes. Okay. Somebody else joining us, and that's usually the minimum amount of things we would like to have in a live setting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And in about, it's looking like in about 5 minutes, where you're going to be able to hear all these songs that we're talking about. People who are just tuning in, at 9 p.m. on 95.9 The Fox, you're going to be able to listen to 3 songs in a row from Color Fields, and then we have another hour of local Connecticut music coming up after that. So we've got about 5 minutes before we get there. You mentioned COVID, and as much as it's cliche to bring it up, it does present such a weird challenge for every musician out there. Did it affect the recording or the writing process of this album at all? Or was it like such an insular process? And there's only two of you. Did it go largely unaffected?
It was definitely affected.
It definitely did. Yeah. Like even Summertime was something that I would bring up. Summertime was a song that was the last single that made it onto our record. And that was one that we had not worked with either of the two producers that we primarily worked with on this record. That was one that John and I collaborated over Zoom. We each bought, you were mentioning Focusrite Scarlett interface. We were we're gonna get some little interface to work at home. We both got some little interfaces, and we, you know, you can set up the audio devices in Zoom. We Zoomed each other a lot to do songwriting sessions for a little while there. Wow. And that song was a song that the germ of it had happened when we were in the room months prior, but to get the rest of the production of that song together, that was one we were playing each other over Zoom, listening to different parts over Zoom. And even getting some of our masters was tough, as like the sessions were held in Midtown Manhattan and people weren't really able to get into the city that, you know. Yeah, it absolutely affected things. And but, you know, it's, we all have to do the best we can with a kind of a crazy environment.
Right. No, absolutely. You said it was Summertime was the song that was most heavily affected by that.
Oh yeah, that's
serendipitous. Maybe that's not the right word, but it's ironic, certainly. Sorry, John, what were you saying?
No, nothing. Just that it was the song that we were just, I mean, obviously quarantined. We couldn't really go to our studio. It's not that we couldn't. When Scott and I were sort of like, just trying to be responsible and stay, you know, distance from one another. So absolutely. We were like, all right, we sort of split up. Like, I took our studio computer home. Got a new interface, like Scott was saying, you know, shout out to Focusrite. You guys make a great interface. And
they don't give the show any money, but they should. They should. Sorry.
And it was just great. I mean, even just like the content of the song, of like the clear, like, it's kind of a silly song, but I actually love that song. It's one of my favorite songs on the record, but it is sort of like a more playful song. And I felt like we both felt like that's exactly what I think would be really helpful right now for people, is to have like a goofy, fun, playful summer song that we could, you know, have a cool story. I mean, we really did write the, aside from the germ of it, like Scott said, it comes sort of out of a just a concept that we'd written prior. And all I had was some of the lyrics. I had the chorus. That was one thing I did have.
You had the chorus, which is, you know, hey, we're starting there.
Super important, right?
Yeah. And that was another one, even in collaborating in COVID times, where the two people that had helped out with the collaboration aspect of that, Max Finelli and Isaac Mons, Max played bass and Isaac played guitar. Oh yeah, Max played bass and a little bit of guitar. Isaac did a lot of the drum programming, and they're two good friends of mine, and I asked them to collaborate. We never met up in person for that whole thing. We talked over Zoom. I asked them to send me some files. They did, and we worked it into our own mix. That was one that I had produced, and we did that all remotely.
That's wild, man. That's wild. Yeah. It came out great, though. It really did, dude. I mean, this album is a ton of fun. Hello? There we go. Sorry. Album is a ton of fun. And that would happen at the end of the interview, wouldn't it? And anyway, long story short, let's go listen to it. All right. So if you're watching this right now, go check out 959thefox.com, or if you're in Fairfield County, Connecticut, 95.9 FM. This is Color Fields. The new album is out right now. It's called Pendulum. Go check it out. iTunes, Spotify, everywhere you get your music. Guys, stick around after I take us off the live stream, but thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, John.
Nice. And we've got a quick commercial break on the radio, and then we're going right into the song. So head over to 95.9 FM or 959thefox.com. And thank you for watching.